Well, Minister Shaun's now going to come and give us his drash on what we have just read. And I'm sure he's got some really great things to enlighten us on.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's pray. Abba in Elohim of our Father, we ask for your shalom to be upon us today, Father God, that your word would be in our hearts and in our minds, Father God, and you would teach us, Lord God, soften our hearts that we hear from you and we would obey, that we would submit to your word and that we would be the people you desire in your heart for us to be. We ask, Father God, that only your word would go forth today. You would hide anything that's not of you, that people would only hear what you want us to hear. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Amen. This parasha is the restaurant parasha. Yes. Lots of fine wining and dining. Nobody got that, did they? Okay. All right, do you want to play the first video?
Shalom and welcome to Parsha in 60 Seconds. Today's portion is from Numbers 8:1 through 12:16. It is called Bahalotcha, which means when you step up. The Levites were dedicated to God in a ceremony that involved sprinkling water and laying hands on two bowls. It was time to celebrate Passover. Some men were unclean. God allowed a second Passover offering on the 14th day of the second month. A cloud covered the tabernacle by day, and a fire rested on it by night. The Israelites used silver horns to communicate to the whole camp. The Israelites followed the cloud to the wilderness of Paran. Moses asked his father-in-law to come with them, but he refused. Moses asked again, and they marched 3 days' distance from Mount Sinai. When the people would complain, God would rain down fire outside the camp until Moses prayed. The people demanded meat, and Moses complained to God about the people. God would give them meat and came down to take the spirit that rested on Moses and place it on 70 elders. Two of the elders stayed in the camp and still received the spirit and began prophesying. This concerned Joshua, but Moses said it was a good thing. God provided quail, but then sent a plague. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, and God rebuked them and afflicted Miriam with scales. Moses asked God to heal her, but God made her go through the same purification process like everyone else. And that is Bahalotcha in 60 seconds.
There you go. The word belachet, is that how you pronounce it? Could you pronounce it properly? Bahalach. Bahalach. Bahalachta. Please forgive me. Okay, it has a root word which is al, or to go up, or alia. And this parasha that starts with Moshe, Yah telling Moshe how to raise up the lampstand, or the nerot. The word nerot only means lampstand, but also candles. But in this parasha, Numbers 8, verse 1. Do you want to put that up? Yep. Near is the light. Do you want to put the... Yep. There we go. Oh, by the way, before I forget, this parish constitutes up to 7,055 Hebrew letters, 1,800 Hebrew words, 136 verses, and can occupy 240 lines in a Torah scroll. Okay. Yahweh said to Moshe, tell Aaron, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to cast their light forward in front of the menorah. Aaron did this, and he lit the lamps and gave light in front of the menorah, as Jehovah had ordered Moshe. And here's how the menorah was made. It was hammered gold from its base to its flowers. Hammer work, following the pattern that Jehovah had shown Moshe. This is how he made the menorah. Now, it's interesting that the menorah is understood to be a synonymous as a symbol of Israel, a symbol of Yah's people, who is an instrument for bringing light. So it makes sense. I believe Yah put this at the beginning of this parasha for a specific purpose, because it sets up the whole foundation of the parasha. The menorah is a symbol of Israel, the children of Israel, those who have a Hebrew faith like Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, those who trust in Yehovah and keep his Torah, not Gentiles who call themselves Jews because they have some possible physical ancestry, but beliefs and behavior are indistinguishable from other Gentiles, i.e. atheists, Canaanites, Philistines, communists, Nazis. Yah proved that if you are not obedient to his Torah, he will cut you off. We saw this happen with the 10 tribes. They were divorced. Yes. And sent away, and Yahshua kept Yehuda for himself. If you are not obedient, if you're not faithful, because the covenant of Moshe is a conditional covenant. If you're not faithful and obedient to his instructions, then you're not part of it. You exit yourself from the covenant. The menorah, as it represents us, was hammered into shape. It did not instantly appear. It was not poured into a mold. It took work. The menorah, the golden menorah, had to yield to the master craftsman's work. It took the master craftsman's hands to prepare this instrument of light. It was developed. It took time and effort and an uncompromising adherence to the pattern that it was designed to be. Okay? Light is very precious. Without light, it's very hard to walk through a dark room. Even if you are a blind person, if you have the knowledge of what's in the room, you have light. You know where to walk. You know what to look out for. Proverbs 4 verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining ever brighter until full daylight. The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not even know what makes them stumble. That's almost hilarious if you watch people in the world. They trip over themselves. The greatest example I love to use is, for example, communism and communism's daughters, fascism, national socialism, feminism. Between those guys, nearly a billion people have been murdered. When communism was set up in the Soviet Union, 7 million people died of starvation. 42 million people were murdered by the government, nearly a quarter of the population. But everybody still thinks it's a good idea. They teach it in universities. They promote it in organizations, the ideology. They stumble around in darkness. And if anyone points out, they lie about it. The problem with human thinking is so limited to the four dimensions of this physical universe that our physical bodies are in. They think that the physical universe can satisfy us. C.S. Lewis wrote something very profound once. Do you want to put that up? If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is we were made for another world. Very profound, isn't it? Very logical. That other world is the one that intersects this world, that we do not have access to on our own, without help. The Torah teaches us that we are created in the image of the Creator, the ruler, that we were designed to be an expression of His otherworldliness in this world. Yes? Yeshua emphasized this theme of spiritual light in his ministry. He recognized the need for light to be revealed to those who follow him and will never be in darkness. Yeshua said in John chapter 8 verse 12, Yeshua spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light which gives life. We are also called to be these lights, to be a menorah, a light holder. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. One of the main ways the followers of Yeshua, the keepers of the Torah, can shine their light on the world is to love one another and refrain from kvetching. Did I say it right? I'm terrible with Yiddish. I'm too Australian. I've got too much of an ocker accent. I do apologize. Philippians 2 verse 13. For God is the one working amongst you, both the willing and the working for what pleases him. Do everything without kvetching or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, without defect in the midst of a twisted and perverted generation, amongst whom you shine like the stars in the sky. As you hold to the word of life, if you do this, I will be able to boast when the day of the Messiah comes, that I did not run or toil for nothing. Okay. This Torah portion is quite often referred to as the kvetching portion. Numbers 11:1. But the people began to complain about the hardships to Jehovah. And when Jehovah heard that, his anger flared up, and fire from Jehovah broke out against them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried to Moshe, and Moshe prayed to Jehovah, and the fire abated. And that place is called Tavera, because Jehovah's fire broke out against them. Next, the mixed crowd was with them, grew greedy for an easier life. And while the people of Israel, for their part, also renewed their weeping and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt. It cost us nothing, and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now we're withering away. We have nothing to look at but this man. Habitual complaining is a serious sin. Okay? It indicates a lack of trust in Yah. And a heart befret doesn't have any gratitude. Complaining is what brought down Yah's wrath upon the children of Israel and caused them to wander aimlessly in the wilderness for 40 years until they died. Despite Yah showing him, he's there continually and his power is continually there upon them. And I can even testify this again this week. I had some work to do and I had to get it finished. So I knew I was going to miss my bus, so I missed my bus. And then one of the guys said, oh look, I'll give you a lift home. So he gave me a lift at the service station up the road. And this is about 3 kilometres from my home, he dropped me off. So I walked through the service station to the other road and I'm thinking, Lord, it'd be great for, I just had this thought go through my mind very quickly, it'd be great for a blessing from a lift from here down. A car pulled up right next to me at that moment. And the guy said, I saw you. You used to catch a train with my wife a couple of months ago and I just wanted to give you a lift to your house. You know, I go through a lot of conflict at work and Yah is showing me, demonstratingly, very physically to me, that he's completely in control of everything that's going on around me. There is nothing that's beyond his control. So you don't have to be afraid. Whatever conflict or whatever difficulty you're going through, he knows. He's already prepared ahead of time. For you to get what you need and what you ask for in faith. Yes? Yeah. That and the bus the other week, a couple of months ago. Rather than being thankful for the miracle of deliverance, people complained. Instead of having trust in Yah and asking, they complained. Their complaints are now an expression of idolatry. Does it make sense to you? Okay. Their complaints are an expression of idolatry because they've forsaken Yah and they've replaced him with themselves. Okay. Instead of submitting and yielding to his words and his purposes and being an expression of him as a light giver, he becomes a means for them to get what they want for themselves. Does that make sense to everybody? Timothy 6:3 says, if anyone teaches differently and does not agree with the sound precepts of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to the doctrine that is in keeping with godliness, he is swollen with conceit, understands nothing. Instead, he has a morbid sense of, desire for controversies and word battles, with which, out of which come jealousy, dissension, insults, evil suspicions. The constant wrangling amongst the people whose minds no longer function properly and who have been deprived of the truth, so that they imagine that religion is a road to riches. Now, true religion does bring great riches, but only to those who are content with what they have. Amen. Okay? Yeah. It's interesting that we're doing this parasha, isn't it? In this parasha, Yah gives them the meat that they crave. He'll give you the, if you want it, you give it to you. But death followed instead of life. Why? Because they did not ask with a heart to glorify Yah, to be his people, to be the expression of light, but they asked simply because they wanted to serve themselves out of greed. Okay? Psalm 106 verse 13 says, "But soon they forgot his deeds and wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the desert they gave way to the insatiable greed. In the wastelands they put God to the test. He gave them what they wanted, but sent meagerness into their souls. In the camp they were jealous of Moshe and Aaron, Adonai's Holy One." See, it's narcissism, isn't it? It's the self-worship. Ultimately, I've got to stop walking out. They're going to tell me off in a minute. What people get to the point where they become professional victims, where they use that as a tool to manipulate people to get what they want. And you'll see it. You've probably seen it in society around. You've run into people like that. I just want to play another video for you if you could. Hang on, I'll just give the secret message. Play the other video! There you go.
I was talking about this line between good and evil, you know, that runs down people's hearts. It's a terrible fault line. And it can be shocking to see that it's the case. And so it's much more convenient for people to divide the world into the righteous and the damned, let's say, and then to persecute the damned.
Right.
Well, it's convenient too, because you, whatever resentment and hatred and bitterness you have in your heart, and you have plenty of that, generally speaking, if you're a social justice type, because you regard yourself as oppressed. And then, like, that's a great starting point for resentment and hatred, right? To be a victim. We know that one of the precursors to genocide, and I'm not saying at all that we're near that state, I'm not saying that, but one of the precursors to genocide in a genocidal state or in a pre-genocidal state is the acceptance of victim status by the eventual perpetrators. Because the idea is, well, like, we're innocent, we're being persecuted, and those people are going to get us. So eventually that becomes, well, we'll get them first. And it gives you, so you have a target for all your resentment and your hatred, and it's a justifiable moral target. And so all the part of yourself that you don't recognize as contributing to whatever problem you think, you know, now pollutes the world, you can ignore all that. You're on the side of the good. There's no moral effort required. And then you have someone to conveniently hate and hit and hurt. And all the while, you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm on the side of the good.
I'm just punching Nazis.
Okay. That was Jordan Peterson. What he's talking about is victim mentality. And communism, National Socialism, or Nazism, fascism, and feminism all use the same ploy. They all use the same thing. Nazis said, those Jews there, they've taken advantage of you. They've hoodwinked you. You need to deal with them. They've destroyed Germany. It's not because Germany went to war with everybody else and got beat and now they're in, you know. It's their fault. That's the core of it. The communists said, it's the rich. They're doing it to you. You're oppressed. And the, who was it? The fascists. Oh, it's those other rich countries, they've colonialized and we're poor. And what do the feminists say? Oh, it's the patriarchy is out to get. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a person once, and this young lady informed me that she had been the victim of you know, she was on this train in Tokyo and had been the victim because she'd been groped, and this baby, it was so closely confined, this baby's head touched her in her chest. How dare that happen? And she was acting like she was the victim of this terrible assault by a baby. For goodness sakes. Does that sound really mentally ill to you?
Yes.
Babies are innocent. Babies are helpless. Babies can't perpetrate crimes. But the way she was carrying on, she was innocent by virtue of being a victim. And you watch the movies. If you ever look at the movies, you'll notice that is going on. The Me Too movement. Oh, we won't go into that. That could go on and on and on. This rabble were victims because they didn't get to eat meat. They had all of God's provision to eat them. But we're oppressed because we aren't getting any meat to eat. You know? You want to know why Yah got angry? Because they're carrying on ridiculously. They're demanding he be their servant rather than they allow him to shape them into being what he wants them to be an expression of the Most High in this world. You've got to be aware of people around who are covetous, because that's ultimately, it's selfishness. It's narcissism. They are there to stroke their own egos. And they're complaining about everybody and everything around them because they think that they are innocent, pure. And people who have guilty consciences will do this. Why? Because they want to throw off, they want to project the wrongdoing that they've done on everybody else around them. Yeah. The world today, this is a new understanding of righteousness. This is their understanding of what righteousness is. The more of a victim you are, the more righteous you are. So that's why you have university students who got to go to university and their parents are paying thousands upon thousands of dollars for them to be there. Most privileged amongst people. I mean, to go to university, I had to spend 7 years in the army in order to save up to go myself. I couldn't go unless I actually paid for it. These people are the most privileged people you run into, are complaining because they are such victims. You've got to be kidding me. Seriously.
That's what the universities teach them.
Yeah. Everybody in this room is better off than more than half the world's population.
Right.
Yeah.
Three quarters
of the world's population, absolutely.
7/8.
Okay, I'll go with that. Anyone for higher? Going once, going twice. The point Yah wants us to be is he wants us to be grateful with what he's given us.
Amen.
And at times it's learning how to be content with what you've got. Yes, because it gives you what you need. Okay, and having that attitude of contentment. Okay, and walking with him in the place he puts you. It's not wrong to desire other things. It's not wrong to want them. It's not wrong to ask for them. But learning to be content where you are is keeping the 10 words and not being covetous. Correct? Yeah. You can build this trait by specifically doing things, by verbalizing your appreciation, giving thanks to other people, giving thanks to Yah. It's important for both our thinking and our emotional state. If you're someone who comes from a family or a lot of people who have a habit, okay, for have a habit of being negative, and you know what? Australians are really good at that. Mm-hmm. Really good at whinging and whining about everything, complaining about leaders and complaining about everything. It's a habit that Yah wants us to control. Okay. Sometimes we do experience lack, and sometimes we do, Yah wants us to cry out to him in need. If we have real complaints and needs, it's getting there before me. I'll just put that up and you guys can read it. That'll be good. If we have justified complaints, we can take it to him and he'll make it available. Moshe demonstrates this in Numbers 11:10. Moshe heard the people crying, family after family, each person at the entrance of his tent. The anger of Yehovah flared up violently, and Moshe too was displeased. Moshe asked Yehovah, "Why are you treating your servant so badly? Why haven't I found favor in your sight so that you put the burden of these people on me? Did I conceive these people? Was I their father? So that you tell me, carry them on your arms like a nurse, carry a baby to the land you swore to their ancestors?" Next one. "Where am I going to get meat to give to these entire people? Because they keep bothering me with their crying and saying, give us meat to eat. I can't carry this entire people by myself alone. It's too much for me. If you're going to treat me like this, then just kill me. Because if you have mercy towards me and don't let me go on being this miserable." That's an honest expression. He's not trying to manipulate God. He's crying out to God because he's feeling crushed. Yes?
Yes.
I remember my mother once telling me that she used to pray. When she got to the end of a rope with the baby, she would cry out to the Lord and the baby would fall asleep. He would put the baby to sleep, the baby would go to sleep. But at times when she wasn't at the end of a rope, she would try, but the baby wouldn't go to sleep. Because God knows when you're serious and when it's time and when it's not. And she knew she wasn't at the end of a rope. She just wanted him to do what he wanted to do so she could have a break. He had legitimate despair and a legitimate concern in his heart, and Yah heard his cry and responded and answered it. It was always Yah's plan. And sometimes Yah will put us in a position where we cry out to him in the desperation of our heart in order to put that plan in place so that we understand the importance of certain principles that he has. Yes? The interesting thing with this too is, I know Christianity says, you know, God poured out his Holy Spirit upon people and it happened in Acts chapter 2. Yeah. It happened before that. It happened here. And the 70 elders were filled with the Spirit of God. And they began to prophesy. They began to speak ecstatically. They began to speak in... yeah. In tongues. And they danced and they were excited. And they were full of the Spirit of God. Here we go. And we get in this parasha as a sin of thousands of Israelites complaining were not enough to bear. His brother and sister Aaron and Miriam criticized Moses for marrying a Cushite woman. Now there's different views on whether this is actually Zipporah or he married another wife later. But I tend to think it's Zipporah. Now, not only has he got everybody whinging at him, now he has his brother and sister having a go. Now, from the context of this, we know this is an attack on his leadership. Yeah. Okay? This is an attack on his leadership and the legitimacy of his leadership because he had married a Cushite, an Ethiopian woman. Okay? And Yah wasn't going to have any of it. One of the things I know about being in leadership, when you walk with Yah, you have less freedom to act for on your own behalf. Yeah? You can't be egotistical because you are representing the Most High. You are an instrument of light. You have to express His will and His purposes and His character and His desires at the time. You don't get to pass judgment yourself. Yah does. Okay? Yah's got your back. You do what he wants and you express what he wants you to express, and then you submit to his will in every matter. You don't get to carry out your own vengeance, your own desires. You have to submit then to him. I know recently I had another experience. And Yah kept me up at night until I got through expressing to him the frustration I had with someone at work the next day so that I didn't express it to them the next day. He will. He knows you need to let steam off. He knows you need to let that off with him. He knows you need to work through things with him emotionally. Okay? And he wants you to do it with him so that you are the example he wants you to be with them. Does that make sense? Yeah. Everybody's nodding. Everybody knows. Yep, okay, good. Why am I saying this? Everybody knows it. Ephesians 4:14. We will then no longer be infants tossed around by waves and blown by every wind of teaching, at the mercy of people clever and devising ways to deceive. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in every respect grow up in him who is the head, the Messiah. Under his control, the whole body is being fitted and held together by the support at every point, with each part working to fulfill its function. This is how the body grows and builds itself up in love. But if a person looks closely to the perfect Torah, but gives freedom and continues, becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, he will be blessed in what he does. Anyone who thinks that he is religiously observant, but does not control his tongue, is deceiving himself, and his observance counts for nothing. Moshe showed true humility in not defending himself against his angry siblings. When you move into the role of being an instrument of Yehovah, you can't act in your own ego. You have to act according to the mercy which he gave to us. Moshe's response when Yah carried out his judgment on his sister was to laugh at her and say, ha ha, your fault, you're silly. No, he didn't do that at all. What did he respond? Numbers 12:13. Because you're tempted to, aren't you? And Moshe cried to Yehovah, O Lord, I beg you, please heal her. And Yehovah answered Moshe, her father had merely spit on her face, wouldn't she hide herself in shame 7 days? So let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days, and after that she'd be brought back in. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not travel until she was brought back in. Moshe was the one who Yah had shown mercy to, and we are the ones he has shown mercy to. He expects us to show mercy to those around us. Even when they do the wrong thing, and Yah carries out his judgment against them, Yah wants us to show mercy to them, because that's the expression of love, his unconditional love for them. We are the light bringers that are expressing that love through our flesh. You know? It even says that in Scripture. It just came to mind. It says that in Scripture that, you know, don't take pleasure when your enemy is dealt with by Yah. Otherwise, Yah will relent and stop. Okay? It's his desire that we be his instrument of light, his instrument that draws people to him, and laughing at someone when they're down doesn't do that. He desires us to be a people who express his mercy to them so that they can be drawn to him. Yeah. You know, Yah is a just and a righteous God. He will not let injustice go unpunished. He can't. It's against his nature. He hates injustice. You know, the whole eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, it is an affront to him to see his children treated unjustly. He will deal with it. But he desires his children to be the expression of mercy in the same way that he has shown mercy to us. The price of sin is death, but in Yeshua all can find mercy and grace. He is continually interceding for us with the Father and is the mediator between us and Yehovah. When the people of our lives behave badly and reap the consequences of their foolish choices and sinful actions, he requires us to intercede on their behalf, just as Moshe did his sister and as Yeshua does for us continually. Amen. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
You mentioned something about complaints, another form of idolatry.
Yes.
Is that, you know, self-control, like people like to control other people.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What they want.
Yeah.
Manipulate it.
People use complaint, we use the victim mentality, they use it to manipulate and control other people. It's the same as lying. You say, because they take exactly something that's so small and ridiculous and they blow it way out of context in order to manipulate someone. Has anyone seen that happen? Nobody's read the newspaper at all? I've seen the news. Somebody takes something so small and that's you know, like if you tell a joke and somebody, oh, I'm offended by that. And their offense is a way of manipulating and controlling you. Yeah, so they use offense to manipulate and control you. Yeah. Does it make sense? They're offended by something that really an average person wouldn't be offended at. Yeah. Amen. Anyone have any other questions? No? Oh, by the way, the bit this week when we read with I found out this week the priest and the Levite, the priests who had to be shaved, they weren't actually completely shaved. The hair that covered them is the hair on the head. They had a haircut. They had a haircut and a beard trim. Yeah. That was it, because you know they didn't have really good razors in those days. So they had a haircut and a beard trim. That was it. In Hebrew, it's a haircut and a beard trim, and it's just been translated shaving their whole body. Okay? Because your hair on your head is a covering for your body. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's just, you know, all right, it's a consequence. Yeah. Let everybody learn from
this. That's right. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that she was just talking to Aaron about it, and not everybody knew about it. She was just talking to Aaron about it,
yeah.
And Yah made it a public,
yeah.
and a demonstration that you don't dare,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mess around.
Like a message to everybody.
Oh, yeah. A very clear message. Yes. 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 Yeah. Oh, that's true. And help you. Because my instant reaction is, what are you there for? That's true. That's true. You're a very merciful person. That's wonderful.
Mm.
That's good. Any other questions? Yep. Yeah.
I knew there was something just spiritual. There's something about me. They just don't like.
Yeah.
I'm not like them.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't walk in me. And it's just like same thing you were saying. I just couldn't sleep all night. So most things I can just let fly off.
Yeah.
But this was like a spiritual attack. And it just bugged me, bugged me senseless. I was ready to really just bring the whole thing in front, which I would have the right to do.
Yep.
It was right done in front of people. And that, yet I didn't have to. As soon as I got in, I didn't know what was going to happen. And this guy, he just comes up to me, like before the whole day started, like the officer briefing. And he says, I noticed you were pretty angry, and I just wanted to apologize.
Mm.
I could see you were really, and there's just a genuine apology.
Because
I think this particular person, not the other one, but he at least, didn't like what he did.
Yeah.
And it was wrong. And yet, that just fixed the whole thing. I'm relieved. I didn't have to go and make a big issue out of it in front of everything, you know.
Yeah.
Because it just takes, like you said, it just takes care of the point.
That's right. And he brings humility, and because you don't react the way normal people react,
yeah.
And make a big thing out of it,
yeah.
You are something strange, and now what you say is worth considering. Yeah.
More and more, I'm discovering Yeshua said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know
not what they do. Yeah.
I've just come back from 1 month in Israel, and there was a particular guy at work that used to not pick on me, but would like to make me aware of the mistakes I was making. And I sort of spoke to the Father about it. And he said to me, he said, you know, just go on and do what you do. Time will tell. And in the last 2-3 days, he's made terrible boo-boo.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh, Sue.
And one of them, he actually sent me a message about something that I had done wrong.
Yep.
Until he realized that I was nowhere near the place, it had nothing to do with me. And then I noticed that I said to him, it's okay, my friend, we can all make mistakes, blessings. And the next day when I went to work, he had never been so nice.
Yep.
Of the 10 years that I worked part with him and off and whatever. And so by allowing the Father softening my heart to the fact that, yes, they don't know what they are doing.
Mm.
They attack us because the enemy is attacking us. It's not them. That man was the most beautiful that he'd ever reacted.
Yeah.
So we had a wonderful day at work. Many people were looked after.
And sometimes in people's lives, they've never had anyone show them mercy. They've never had it. They've never seen it. I don't want to tell you some of the stories I've seen in my work, but some people have grown up and they've never been shown mercy by their parents. They've never been shown mercy by their school teachers. They've never been shown mercy by anybody in their life. And when you show mercy to them, it absolutely, it absolutely floors them. Absolutely floors them. I remember in the army talking to a guy about that, and he was deliberately trying to stir me up. And he said, there's something there because I would just lose it if people said what I'm saying to you. But you're not. Because I'd go and pray and it'd go. And it was Yah doing it. So he knew and he recognised that. So Yah gives signposts along the way. All the way. Yeah. Yes. But against principalities and powers and forces of darkness in heavenly realms. Amen. All right. Without further ado, we'll move on to the Yeshua Remembrance Service. Okay.